and basically there will be a lead presentation, then followed by comments about discussion, and then we will have a brief open house discussion and question and answer. So my privilege to call Mr. Enamul Haq, Professor of East West University, Dhaka, to make his presentation on the Bangladeshi perspective.
Honorable Chair, distinguished guests, thank you very much for inviting me for this particular discussion. And obviously, as an academic, I will be talking my mind rather than the mind of the government of Bangladesh. So let me be very clear on that. The way I look at it, and I think some of the issues that Mr. Sudhakar has mentioned is perfectly fits within what I was also thinking. I think in terms of, we all know it, but maybe I will run through some of these issues for that we understand, and at least I think primary objective that my feeling was also why BBIN when we have already bilateral arrangements. So I think that should be in our mind, and I will put it in a different way so that you can see where I was, where I'm coming from. So if I look at these major sources of energy consumption happening in Bangladesh, in this region, BBIN countries, these are the major energy consumption sources without looking into the conventional ones. Obviously, Bangladesh's major consumption of, let me say energy is not electricity, energy is more generalized, so I'm putting into that perspective. The biggest group of consumption that we have in Bangladesh is from natural gas and petroleum. If we look at India, it's again coal and petroleum, major production source. We have Nepal, which has three of them, but hydro is the biggest one. And you have Bhutan with hydro and petroleum. So I think if you look at the energy, and obviously you can see that most of the non-petroleums are basically for electricity. So I'm looking at from that perspective. So when you look at it, I think two major energy sources that becomes important for BBIN countries. One is petroleum products, which we do not produce much. And the other one is the electricity, which we have been discussing. Natural gas, as I think our ambassador has mentioned in the morning, we have a deficit at the moment in Bangladesh. India has a deficit. Nepal and Bhutan doesn't have. So in terms of the natural gas, it's a deficit region at the moment. In terms of electricity, Bangladesh has 28% of its demand shortages at the moment. So that's, Bhutan has some, at least in the statistics. India has about 10%. This is the statistics of 2013. Nepal has about 9% shortages. So again, the region, if you look at all of us, is a deficit region. Traditional fuel, which is currently, and this is important because I think it's our discussion into the future, this will become an issue. About 55% of our total energy demand is still traditional fuel, which is an issue that I will come bring forward. What does it mean for the future of this relationship? India has 25%. Bhutan, 90% of its is actually traditional demand. Nepal has 85%. These are again statistics from the I was looking through. Again, the objective is to give an idea that where we stand at the moment. Commercial energy that we see the region, whole South Asian region, this is from the Asian Development Bank. This is where the commercial energies are. As I mentioned already, coal is a major one. And hydro, these are the more than 50% you can see, and then petroleum. So this is where the energy sector is, and within this sector, as I think the speakers have mentioned already, Bangladesh, India have launched into energy trade, which is Tripura to Bangladesh, 500 megawatt is already being traded. We in Bangladesh is buying it. In West Bengal to Bangladesh, another 500 to 1000 megawatt are in discussion, and probably it will happen. Assam to Bangladesh, diesel trading has happened, at least to my understanding. India-Bangladesh coal trade, probably, I'm not sure, but that's an issue that is on the table. And India-Bangladesh-Myanmar, which is the gas with BIMSTEC linkage, which the gas transmission line has been at least into discussion. In terms of India-Bhutan, this is investment. This, if you look at it, there is a huge investment that has happened by India in Bhutan. And there is petroleum trade that is going through India to Bhutan. So the petroleum sources is from that. In terms of India and Nepal, the hydro investment is an issue, and obviously petroleum trade is through India. So if you look at it, this is what, if you paraphrase it, which is a Binney approach, means it's all bilateral, not real multilateral approach. The approach means is Bangladesh-India, India-Nepal, Nepal-India. So this is where the multilateral approach currently happening, and that's not doing bad because it's happening nicely and this is growing. I think the way that we have to look into it, my own feeling, and this is again, this is the way we look into it, is more of a sharing of sufferings. This country needs petroleum, we have to provide it. This country needs electricity, we have to provide it. And Bangladesh is a perfect example where electricity was in short, big shortage. We had a big trouble in electricity, government was in trouble. So this has happened. And obviously it's a gesture of friendship between nations, between bilateral nations, that has happened. And this is where I would say that this cannot continue forever. It has to be based on a solid, sustainable foundation of trade. And I think that's where we have to move. So first of all, yes, these are good gestures, very good way of claiming or providing friendship to each other, but it is not going to be sustainable. And I have other issues that I would bring forward into your, so that we can think about it. We need grid line. Can we solve it? This is an issue that we have been talking about. I think Bangladesh, to my understanding, has been talking about Nepal, Bangladesh, India through India electricity grid line for at least 20 years. They have been discussing this Bhutan issue has not been discussed much, at least on the table I know. But in Nepal particularly, this has been on the discussion, I have doubts on its success unless we have a systemic way of solving it. So now what I mean that it has to be a systemic approach, and I think there BBIN might have something to deal with. In other words, how do you develop a systemic approach to this multilateral relationship? And I think that's where we would like to see things to go through. Let's now understand a little bit of South Asia, which you all know. I'm just giving you an idea so that we can think through in our mind. Bangladesh is on a growth path. We have now almost 7% growth rate. It's going to go up, cannot go down, at least in the near future. Our demand, I give an example, 10 years ago we had only 3,000 megawatt of electricity production. Right now we have about 10,000 megawatt of electricity production. And in another 10 years, we are expecting 60,000 megawatt of electricity demand. So you can see how the exponential growth of electricity or energy demand that is going to happen in this region. Whether we were ready for it, that's a different question, but that's going to happen. If you look at electricity, I just give you an idea so that we understand it. Every government in Bangladesh has been trying to push electricity into the doorsteps of common people. This is almost like becoming a civil right, almost becoming a fundamental right of people. If you look at MPs, they cannot go to their locality without promising that electricity is coming. So this is almost becoming a, and I'm pretty sure this is true in every country in this region. Because now look at this carefully in terms of, if you look at it, and obviously as we grow out of poverty, which is happening in this region, we have a large number of poor people, but we're also getting out of poverty. So as an economist, my own feeling is that we will see exponential growth of energy demand that is going to come. I think, and that is where my own reading is that we have to think carefully into systemic approach. Give you an idea, in 1971 we had 11 kilowatt hour of electricity demand per year. In 2013, it is 293. So you can see this growth. But look at carefully into the Indian case, and that's an interesting one. It is 1971, this was 98, and today it is 765. So look at the growth rate. But more carefully, look into the Malaysia, which is also a region, three country within the region. Their current electricity demand is 4,512 kilowatt hour, which means if we want to go into a poverty-free little bit of middle-income group of income countries, obviously this will happen. When you look at carefully into this currently 293 kilowatt hour of electricity per year, which means less than 1 hour of electricity per person per day, if you think carefully, it's very small electricity demand currently, and this has to go. This has to grow. There is no choice in terms of the electricity. So this is going to happen. So, and this is where we have to start rethinking about it. And that's why my feeling is that the bilateral relationship is the growth that we're looking at is not going to be sustainable. We need to, through as a systemic approach of the region, and see what to do about it. So what is, you know, this is what is our strategies. Obviously, I think the speaker has already mentioned, we share common resources. This is a fact that when we travel around the world, it's very difficult to distinguish us from each other. So we have to recognize that we have a share, not only resources, heritage, culture, and also the history of civilization. These are all shared. And this sharing has created us as South Asia, or at least in this region, as one common unit. And for this region, I believe, no one can climb alone. In other words, each country has to go together. And that's where something we have to be pulling to us in terms of understanding what is the best way to do this. Because one country alone will not go up. The political economy is such that it's very difficult to do this, and I think we all understand it. And that is where I think we need to move away from sharing or distribution to almost trading. I think that's the strategy. The strategy should be, how do I create a strategy which is more multilateral, and at the same time we can help each other, but it has to be based on equality and also based on respect. So when you look into it, I would say that we should be looking, and this is where the current approach has to be. This is why, when I say current approach, is basically bilateral approach. So the future strategies, if I look at from my mind, and this is where I think we have to, again, I'm not my own, if you look at it, our strategy has to be based on our heritage and culture. We cannot ignore it. We have to realize that this region is an energy deficit region. Despite the fact that Nepal and Bhutan have significant potential energy production, hydro energy production possible, my reading as into the future is that we will still remain in energy deficit at the way we are looking at it. So we have to understand that as a region, that this will be an energy deficit region. And we have to, at the same time, that does not mean we will not use energy. So I want you to differentiate between energy production and energy consumption. There are regions in the world who do not produce energy, but they're also consuming energy. So I think our cooperation should be thinking that line. We have to overcome that. And if you look at it, I'll give you another understanding how big the energy demand will be. About 17% world population lives in these four countries. So it's a large population. If you look at the 7% of the whole global land is actually belongs to these four countries. If you have 17% population living on 6-7% land, obviously you need energy to increase productivity. So the energy demand is very clear to all of us. We'll need enough energy so that we can go beyond poverty. And these options that I think, and I think it has been discussed, and we all know it, obviously there will be a hardware and there will be software solutions. When you look at hardware solutions, obviously gridline is one. But remember, we are forgetting the other 50% of the energy, which is petroleum products. And on petroleum products, this linkage, the best linkage is actually navigation, which is water. So I think there is an issue that's to be looked into the future, which is that the navigational needs between countries has to be restored. Otherwise, the amount of petroleum needs that is coming from all these countries, the cost will be too high. The region as a whole will become less competitive. So in order to remain competitive, I think obviously water is not discussed here, but tomorrow we'll be discussing it. But that's an issue that I'm flagging for the sake of energy, and particularly with respect to, if you imagine the petroleum products going all the way to Assam and then transporting it to Bhutan, and that's possible. Similarly, possibility exists in Nepal. So there is the whole navigational route has to be part of the deal in terms of developing a better interconnectivity. We are focused at the moment all on electricity, but our 50% demand is not on electricity. Energy is actually petroleum products, and we are deficit. We need to also develop a joint infrastructure development, which is currently happening, and that's where the modalities need to be understood, that what is the best way to develop this infrastructure. I think why I'm saying it, because if a country provides a subsidy on developing an infrastructure, it cannot do a good trading with others, because you are providing subsidy to another country. And I think that's where the policy regime has to relook, that if you continue to do subsidize your energy sectors on hardware, then the whole relationship is not going to be win-win relationship. It will be I give and you take. But if it is on non-subsidized good way of maintaining it, then the market will push it to for trading. So remember this idea, as long as it is highly government subsidized, all the governments will ask the question, should we give this subsidy to another country or not? And it will be only on the friendship nature. And the amount of demand that is happening, I don't think each one can subsidize the other. So joint investment is a strategy. I think another way I mentioned, and this is where one most important thing that my feeling is, that if we look into the another 20 years into the future, the amount of energy South Asia needs has to be understood. And from there, when I'm still talking about energy, is both electricity and petroleum products. We have Singapore as a market for energy trading, global market. We have Rotterdam as another one. I think BBIN countries should look into another open spot market for energy within South Asia. We cannot continuously demand electricity, petroleum products coming from Singapore to us. In other words, the whole trading should be open, and I think that's one thing to think through, that can we create a Rotterdam inside South Asia, inside the BBIN, and that's where we should cooperate to develop this, because that will make us competitive, because you have to reduce your energy costing, and that's one strategy that we have not thought about. Similar things is important, and I think I'm just flagging it into our mind, that if you look at the current production cost, electricity production through diesel and electricity production through LNG is almost similar. In fact, LNG is cheaper, but only if you have a big, large power plant and large ships to bring. In other words, you need to bring large ships, and that's where, again, together is possible to create those facilities so that this whole region can share this production system. I think this is where I would flag it. At the moment, when I look into the institutional, obviously the other speaker has already mentioned about it, that the cross-country, if you want private trader to trade, the regulatory structure has to be clear. Without that, private traders will not come forward. And within the country, it's happening exactly the same way. India has done better deregulation of energy, electricity sector than Bangladesh. Example is very clear, because even with the regulation that we have done, even with players that we have done, we have not seen much of a foreign investment coming to Bangladesh. So obviously, there are a lot of strategies need to be done within the countries, in each country, to understand this, that private players will not come forward without a good regulatory structure. And I think that's where the starting point, at least for this. Hardware is one issue, but I think hardware will not be enough. The way I look at it, as again, I'm saying as an economist. So energy spot market, I have already mentioned, this is a very important strategy for all of us. To me, when I look into it, I think when the reason we should bring together us is not looking at what is happening today, is actually what is going to happen tomorrow. The region has to stand up. The future course of the global world will be in Asia. Now, if that is the case, and India is one of the largest economy in the world, obviously China is another one. So both of them are energy hungry. And the energy route, energy demand has to change. So my own feeling is that I think we should cooperate. As I said, I think that the other speaker mentioned that we should be complementing to the whole process. And that complementary process need to rethink on beyond the grid lines. I think I will stop here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you also for adhering to the time absolutely on the last dot. But Mr. Happy brought up some very